It's time for Intersections, where art and science meet, your weekly hour of conversation, where you learn about curious ideas, creative works, and interesting phenomena with your host, Mark Kiesling, the founder of the Da Vinci Pursuit, and Krista Hoffman-Longton, Assistant Dean for Faculty Affairs and Professional Development at the Indiana University School of Medicine. Now, it's time for Intersections, where art and science meet.
I'm Mark Kiesling, the founder of the Da Vinci Pursuit, a museum without walls where artists, scientists, and the community can create unique interactions and conversations.
And I'm Krista Hoffman-Longton, Assistant Dean at the IU School of Medicine and Associate Professor of Communication Studies at IUPUI.
And today we have with us Colleen Rocap, a certified health coach. Hi, Colleen.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And we also have Patricia Peake, who's I call you a plant-based foodie, which I think is pretty good description.
Probably, yes.
Yeah, and welcome to you as well.
Thank you, pleasure to be here.
And we're gonna be talking about how we can add plant-based foods to our diet that can help us lead to improved health and well-being. We're gonna try to remove the idea of dieting from our conversation because we know that the whole idea of dieting doesn't necessarily work. So the idea of having a healthy diet is a different phrase, and we'll try to get you to understand the difference between that. And we're gonna share some plant-based recipes as well. So Colleen, I know that you do this a lot, and you work with a particular company, which I know many of our listeners know, that you advise on Noom. And you know, I've known some people that have had incredibly wonderful things happen with their health as a result of making simple changes in their diet towards plant-based. Can you give us some of the philosophy that you use personally behind plant-based eating and cooking?
Yeah, it's really just the philosophy that I used with myself, which is meeting people where they're at. And where I came from was eating McDonald's four times a week, eating raw hot dogs. I know that's actually just so disgusting. Like nothing but mac and cheese, hot dogs, totally ultra processed foods, really didn't know how to cook outside of a microwave. So kind of approaching every person as if they're starting from the same place that I did, which was completely clueless as to where to start, which is a very common place to be because we don't just naturally learn how to eat in a healthy way. So, you know, the way that I approached it was just taking kind of one step at a time, which I will say I did go full on plant-based overnight, but I didn't do it in what you might consider a healthy way. And there were a lot of mistakes along the way. So yeah, meeting people where they're at and just giving them grace. You know, well, not even giving them grace, but asking them to have grace with themselves to make mistakes, or, and that's for someone who wants to be completely plant-based. Really, for most people I'm working with, they're just trying to eat more fruits and vegetables, whole grains, beans, just healthy foods. So not striving for perfection, which I would argue doesn't even exist. But you know, even if that means just having one extra serving of vegetables per week, that's fantastic.
Go ahead, Krista.
Well, I was just going to say, Colleen, I really appreciate that approach because I think that, you know, when we think about things like learning science, what we know out of how to kind of build a sustainable habit, that a lot of that comes from understanding your motivation and understanding a lot of times the relationships that you have with others around something like food, which is so kind of important in this culture. And I'm wondering, Patty, for you, as you kind of think about, you know, kind of what you are interested in and you as sort of seeing yourself as a plant-based foodie, sort of how do you incorporate those concepts into your day-to-day experience?
Well, in my day-to-day with about getting people where they're at, I feel like my journey took me into family health, looking at myself and my family members. And I would say that it is very intimidating to do a diet after diet. And this was the first time in my life getting into a understanding what lifestyle meant. And it just meant changing for the better for me and my family. And I looked at things with sharing that with people. And when you start sharing the love that you have for food and it turns into a healthy way, you can transition into the gatherings about being healthy and what it's doing for our bodies. And it really is remarkable. And I think people get very intimidated when you are talking science. And a lot of people, I think they're afraid of that information. So they want to kind of stay away from it because they don't want to be lectured and they don't want to be told what they're eating bad. And I know friends of mine that have asked me for help and I'll say, well, what do you like to eat? So they'll tell me what they like to eat and I'll convert it into a plant-based meal like tacos and just whatever they like, because that is the first part of getting people to have something familiar to them of what they've already been eating. And it has really led me down a path of excitement, of experimenting and being true to taste. Because I think originally when I used to think vegan or anything outside of what I knew, it just seemed boring and or you had to be a chef. And I have found a really happy place for myself in sharing with my family that really simple things to add to your food with the vegetables and fruits and seasonings, it's incredible. And the taste can be there very simply, and it's very satisfying.
When I think about what you were just saying, I get the impression it's not so much about what I'm removing or taking away or losing, but it's what I'm gaining.
Exactly, and totally.
That's really a whole different, I think, narrative and approach to diet and to healthiness. And that is that I don't necessarily have to give up, but I need to add to and maybe make changes in it. But I think so many people think it means just absolutely giving up something, because we have those extreme diets out there, which, you know, you give up everything and you go just to grapefruit it gets crazy. And those are not things that anyone in the world would ever want to sustain.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you get short-term results only to boomerang back. And so I think that's really important. Colleen, when I think about what you do and advising people, you know, I love your approach. And that is through two things. And I think one is, through you have the science and you understand how it can help, but I think it's the art side of you, the culinary art and the beauty, also just the beauty of a meal. How I've seen some of your postings on Facebook and other places, and you make these beautiful meals. What does beauty have to do with eating?
Probably the same thing. You could say it has to do with everything else. It's what are we attracted to? And I'm a person who kind of likes to mix things together. And I think one of the biggest things that I learned, well, two things, eating the rainbow, which we've talked about before. So trying to make sure there are as many colors as possible on a plate versus, like what you see on a Cracker Barrel billboard, which is all brown, not appealing. And then just how you present things. So normally, you know, in the past, I would mix everything up. And if you take a picture of that, or, you know, even if you're just mentally looking at it, it's generally not that cute. But if you can present things in really just cute ways, you're seeing all the different colors, you're seeing what's in your plate, you can really visualize just how tasty it might actually be. Or, I always call myself a food con artist, because sometimes I'll make something that looks really pretty and I taste it and I'm just like, it's not that great, but I still eat it because it looks really amazing.
Colleen, when you think about your work, and I think that, a lot of our listeners sort of understand broadly, like, you know, you might meet with a nutritionist or you might meet with someone that has sort of a more clinical focus on improving eating habits. Can you talk about what a health coach is and how your training helps you work with the folks with which you work to kind of make decisions that stick?
Yeah. So as a health coach, we, as you said, we're not so much focused on the clinical side. You know, if someone comes to me with something like an eating disorder or some kind of serious health issue, they do need to be referred to a dietitian, and we work with them. But and that's where the health coach comes in, is that they're getting more of the science from the dietitian, and then the health coach is focusing on motivational interviewing. So we are figuring out where the person's starting from, and particularly what barriers they're facing. So for some people, that's a lack of time. It can be pressure from family members. There's a million different reasons, but generally we kind of narrow it down to which factors are the most, you know, which ones are the hardest for them. And then we tackle them one at a time because we don't want to overwhelm anyone. But then, you know, like let's say a dietitian recommends that they eat 3 servings of vegetables per day. Well, you know, if a person's really strapped for time, then we just come up with solutions for that. So that may be meeting them halfway and saying, well, you can buy freezer veggies that you can steam in the microwave in 30 seconds. just, you know, it doesn't have to be perfect organic produce that's roasted for 30 minutes or whatever. So yeah, and then in identifying what their reason is, because nobody is gonna make any change whatsoever if they don't have a why. So what is their reason for wanting to be healthy, which generally comes down to something emotional most of the time. So in a lot of cases, you know, with parents, you know, they want to make sure that they're around for a long time to watch their kids grow up, or not to be dependent on them. Lots of different reasons. But yeah, motivational interviewing and figuring out the why.
So Patty, can you talk about kind of your why for how you went through the kind of process of changing your diet and what that looked like for you?
Yes. I think there was little indications along my life that I knew, but I didn't want to face that I was doing incorrectly. And I tried every diet in the book. And the why that came just right in my face, my son got diagnosed with ulcerative colitis, and which is an autoimmune disease. And I think I keep hearing that word autoimmune. And my why was, why is this happening? And why did that happen to him? And then I realized my daughter had polycystic syndrome, PCOS. And again, it's like, is it genetic? Is it the why? Or is that the reason? And I kept searching for my why. So when the why hit me was my son ended up being treated with wrong medication and his colon blew open and he got sepsis. And they told me he would not make it through the night. So he survived. And fortunately, and we went through like all the antibiotics from that and looking at what is he eating. And I talked to doctors saying, is it what we're eating? Like, why is this happening? What's going on? How can I help my son? Here, an adult male that is my son, but just broken, and what's happening in his life forward? What can we do? And I started just desperately searching and asking, and I just continued asking anybody I knew, any doctor I knew, is it the food? Is it the food? What can we do? And a lot of doctors, because they don't have the information, were like, I don't think that's going to change. And I think that's because a lot of people don't want to change. But when you get that why answered and you say, I have to know, now that I know my why, that I'm going to dig in and go forward and I will change. And that drove me into, I think, as a parent, searching. And then it just pulled me back. All of a sudden, I'm looking at myself and the reality of what I used to think was just going to happen in my life with illnesses, that I had a choice and I could make a difference. And that's how my why came in my journey. And then I just dove in. So, and I'm still learning. I'm still asking questions. I'm still meeting people that are generous with their time and their education to share with me. So I'm really fortunate like that with that.
Patty, that that story, and I know Krista hears this over and over and over again because she specializes in, you know, communication with doctors, with patients. But that story is so true and so typical of where you have to be the one that drives asking the questions. You have to kind of, you don't want to over-educate and think you know more than the doctor and go in with everything off of the internet that was ever a thing. But at the same time, you have this partnership with the doctor. And so you're bringing forward something. Could I improve this situation with diet?
Yes.
Maybe we don't even look for whether it's caused by diet or genetics. Let's just, is there a way we could make his colitis and his life more comfortable and better through an improved diet? And I think that's what you've achieved. So I'm really impressed with that, what, the way you said it, because I think that is what we want in the relationship with our physicians.
Absolutely. Because it's a team. And as they say, it takes a village, and you need those great-minded physicians that understand what the problems are and take it to the depths of that, because I don't have that understanding. But I want to work with the doctor and understand what I need to do on my end and how they can support me doing that. And then I support and listen to them and what they're educated in. And be my own advocate. I say that's for everybody. And if you don't understand it, ask the doctor, and they'll, if time allows, that they'll fit you into that. But you can have consultations without going in urgently. I think, you know, ask for that. And if you don't ask, you're not going to get it.
Go ahead.
So Colleen, I was, as I was listening to sort of Patty talk about her experience, I was thinking about your work and how important your work is in that partnership that you have, you know, with the folks that you're working with. And you've talked about kind of meeting folks where they are, and you've talked about your own journey as well. So what does that look like on the ground? Can you tell me a little bit about how you, you know, you talked about kind of motivational interviewing and finding their why? So what comes next? I mean, we know that everybody's kind of pressed for time. We know, you know, like those things are, I'm sure, really common. How do you go about kind of tailoring your solution to meet the needs of that individual in front of you?
Yeah, so the process begins with the why. And we have our users fill out a survey about that. So I don't even have to dig into that myself. But they give me what we call a super goal, which for, it looks different for everyone, but it could be that I want to lose 10 pounds in the next 2 months. And then we ask, why do you want to? And that's usually like, well, I want to feel better. And then I want to look better. And then that, it gets deeper. You're pulling back the layers of the onion, as we say, until it gets to, well, if I look and feel better, I'm going to be more confident. And if I'm more confident, then here are all the awesome things that can happen in my life. So we start with that. And then usually at that point, we'll ask, what do you think is the best first step to take? And at that point is when people usually dump like 10 different things. You know, I need to usually what people will say is I should exercise. I should eat more veggies. And so we'll just lay all those out and say, this is really great. We can do all of these things at one time, but we want to avoid overwhelm. So if you think that that could be possible, what would be one or two of these categories that would be the easiest for you to start with? And then we'll break those down and say, you know, looking at the week ahead, what barriers do you foresee coming up? And then we come up with a plan to work around those. Yeah, I mean, I could do a million different scenarios there because there are so many different ones, but it's surprisingly simple, the layout for that.
Yeah, so you get them down that path and you've got, you know, attainable goals is what I think you're trying to work towards. Mm-hmm. I mean, reasonable, because we tend to, that's the problem with dieting, right? We tend to want it to happen overnight.
Mm-hmm. So,
you know, can I lose 20 pounds in the next 2 weeks? Yes, you can, but I don't know that it's a healthy way to go. And so is the goal for health or is it just losing the 20 pounds? And so you're right. I mean, you're balancing there. When you get that to that level, then do you sometimes, do they tell you what they eat or what they like to eat? And then you do you start to help meal plan or do you, where does it go from there?
We don't meal plan. That would be a bit too clinical. So, but within Noom, we have a tracker. So people are logging in the different things, just like they would in MyFitnessPal or any other food logging app. And then Noom has a color system set up. So that's based on calorie density, which confuses a lot of people actually, because it's the same colors as a stoplight. So when you see a red food, you generally think stop, as in I should not eat that at all. But there are red foods that are very healthy in that category. It's just that they're very calorically dense. But we're tracking all of that. And we always say, especially the first week, like just eat like you normally would, because the point is to track what your eating patterns are. And then we can say, all right, so this week we saw that you were at 70% red foods and 20% green and 10% yellow. What can we do this week to bring your red foods down, you know, even 5%? The approach I like to take is to not even mention bringing the red foods down, but just saying, how do we increase your green foods so that it will by default bring the other categories down? So that could be just making sure you have a veggie or fruit with every meal. And you would be amazed at the changes that that can create, because it makes people fuller. And so then they're less likely to eat the red foods. That is how we track eating habits.
And Patty, I know that your experience has been not necessarily exactly what Colleen is talking about here, but I know that your family has been a big part of your journey, like you've talked about so far. Can you talk a little bit about kind of what small changes that you made that were maybe kind of more relational? How did you talk to your family members about kind of wanting to make these changes so that as listeners listen, they think about kind of having that tough conversation about, let's say, a meatless Monday, you know, what does that look like in terms of having those conversations with your family?
I think the first thing I would say is approaching it with love and kindness, because people are so overwhelmed. Everybody is. And health is, when you're suffering any health, it's a struggle. So when it looks like for me, I would even say, I was joking with my sister and I said, how about you just try a half a cup of beans a day? And then I added, like a week later, I added greens. And I'm not a health coach like Colleen, but trying to introduce to family, you don't want to overwhelm anyone as a friend or a loved one. You want to just say, hey, try this, try that. And so I would try the half a cup of beans and she'd be like, well, how am I going to eat that? Can I eat that for breakfast? Well, then I'd say, hey, throw in some beans and pineapple with some sweet chili sauce and you've got breakfast, and add some greens. And so beans and greens, it's just about trying to add. When I'm sharing as a friend or a family member, I start out just, what can you add? What do you like? Have you tried this? Tell me what you like to eat, and add it that way. Because I really do think we are really lacking in fruits and vegetables and grains and legumes. It's very sad. And I had become that too, driven by everything I was hearing, what diet works this way, what diet works that way, but adding this. And then they also are starting to understand my health changes that I experience personally. And I think there's disbelief in that. They just don't understand, like, well, how do I do that? Well, I'm not going to be vegan. I have to have my meat. I have to have this. And now they're realizing with little changes, I have a couple that are friends in a different city, and adding, I said, well, how about, her husband was like, I'm going to have my meat. I said, how about then just have an animal product like once a day, pick what you want, what you really want. I'm not going to tell you what not to have, but pick that. And then just try the half a cup of beans a day. And that he started out with a A1C of 12.7. And within 3 months, they called me The wife was so excited. The husband was tearing up, and he went to 7-1 with his A1C in 3 months. So he was still eating meat. And I'm saying that's not optimal for everybody, but they were shocked that he could transition just by making a few changes. And he was like, what can I do now? What can I do next? And they were so excited. I had chills over my body because I love sharing meals and everything, but knowing that life can change for someone's health is an incredible feeling to know you help share that information. And it's not my information, but the sources that I'm getting from in the science, it's so great to let them understand they can make those changes and they will see outcomes.
Yeah. And you're giving it from a base of something where you really care or love that other individual. And so you're coming at it from, I want to be helpful. I don't want it to be too hard. We're talking with Colleen Rocap and Patricia Peake about how we can add plant-based foods to our diet and improve our overall health and well-being. Please join us for more of our conversation after this break.
Hello, Indiana. This is Dr. Laura Merrifield-Wilson, host of Positively Politics. I'd like to invite you to join our conversation on the current issues and events in politics with the experts who know them best. Every Saturday morning here on WICR at 11:30, we break down the sometimes negative and often complicated world of politics in a nonpartisan, straightforward, and educationally rooted way. You won't want to miss the discussion on Positively Politics Saturday morning at 11:30 right here on The Diamond.
Welcome back. I'm Krista Hoffman-Longton, and today we're having a conversation about how the addition of plant-based foods can lead to improved health and well-being with Colleen Rocap and Patricia Peake. Welcome back.
Thank you.
As we were heading to the break, Colleen, you were talking a little bit about the idea that at least in the Noom system and really in many other strategies that folks use to increase plants in their diet, that you have some strategies or kind of ways to stay in a particular lane or go in a positive direction in terms of eating more plants and in terms of thinking about the way that you interact with food differently. Can you talk a little bit about the strategies that y'all use to sort of change folks' perceptions of food?
Yeah. So we were talking about that traffic light system that's really, really helpful for that because it kind of helps people uncover some surprises. So, you know, in society, a lot of times we're told things like turkey bacon is healthy, I'm trying to think of a green food that might surprise someone. So bread, different things like that where people think this is good, that's bad. Introducing them to that color system is really enlightening for a lot of people because of those surprises, and usually they're very happy to hear that certain things are not off limits, like bread, specifically if it's a whole grain bread. But then, yes, there are definitely the red foods that will throw people off. But that's going to be healthier items like peanut butter, which peanuts are a very healthy food, just very calorically dense. Yes, sorry, I got a little sidetracked there. I'm looking at our list right now.
Well, I think that that's helpful. It makes me think as you're talking about, about sort of thinking about the strategies that work for folks that, a lot of time, whether you use the metaphor of the stoplight or maybe use, sort of Michael Pollan's omnivore's dilemma, right? Where plant, botany of desire, right? Eat food, mostly plants, not too much, right? Those kinds of things, that having a framework can be helpful. And that framework doesn't necessarily need to come from a place of scarcity, that it's not from a place of saying you can't ever eat these things or you have to take these things away, but instead saying kind of, what do you gain? What can you bring back? What fun can you have with food in a way that you might not have before? And Patty, you alluded to this a little bit as you were talking about some of the lifestyle changes that you've made. Can you talk more about ways that you've been able to make this transition fun for you and your family?
Yes, I feel like the making it fun is part of it, is just surprising them with something they didn't think they would like eating, and something in the line of what they like. Like if they like the tacos, my family, for instance, had gotten to the point where I felt like we would layer with cheese sauce and as much meat as we could stuff in the taco. Well, now that I've been introduced to whole food plant-based eating, we layer a whole grain taco. And we put, I personally, a lot of people have flavor and or stomach problems, like you were talking about, Mark, where that it doesn't agree with them, but I can layer greens, beans, rice, any kind of vegetable, tomatoes, onions. I layer it like crazy. And that is so fun for me. And it's fun to see people's faces when they are like, I'm going to eat all that. Or the first time I told my husband, you can have half your plate in potatoes. He goes, I can't eat potatoes. And I was like, no, they're so fibrous. You can eat potatoes all day long. And he was like, are you kidding me? And so that is so fun for me to tell people they can have the potatoes. And like Colleen said, the breads, you just want to make sure they're whole grain breads. And to me, that brings a joy to it, that it's like, and I'm a volume eater. So I would say I love having a full plate of food. And it's even better when people look at me like, you're going to eat all that? And I'm like, yes, because it is changing my health. And you can't say that with a full plate of, we'll say, a fast food bucket of chicken or anything like that. That's not going to, well, that won't better you. And it, there is science behind that. So, but it's just so fun to bring that to people, of the volume they can eat, and within the perimeters of that, with the red light, green light foods, the green being the potatoes was a super surprise for me, having that, and very happily so, because I had stayed away from potatoes and I kept getting bigger and bigger. That so much of.
We've got, Patty, we'll let you
come around, back. And there's all different kinds.
There we go. Anyway, Colleen, one of the things in what Patty was telling us before she lost part of her connection was really interesting for me, and that is this idea that you can eat a full meal. You know, the concept of dieting is that you have to eat a whole lot less. And in this one, you can eat a full meal, but it doesn't mean I've had some men friends who, you know, their doctor told them, hey, you're getting up there with weight and your A1C. You need to do more salads and stuff. So they do a salad and it's huge, but it's what they put on there that's a problem. And they wonder why they're still not in great shape after it, because, you know, they're putting heavy dressings on it. They put all this cheese, lots and lots of eggs, meat. I mean, just because it's a, so there is a difference between the salad and a salad.
Yeah. And fun fact, I usually don't even like salad, but people are like, hi, how do you eat plant-based and not eat salads? I've been mistaken many a times, just completely freaked out coworkers, because I come in with a giant insulated bag of food and they're like, oh my God, nobody told me there was a pitch-in today. Like, what did I miss? Who had a baby? Like, oh no, I'm having a food baby later, but that's the only baby here. This food is all for me. The volume thing, that truly is the trick to it all. And it really is the things, even with vegan foods. So let's say someone's transitioning into veganism, and they're making all the same foods that they normally would. So let's say they're making a giant salad. Well, if they're putting even plant-based cheeses on there, granted, it is going to be technically a healthier product, but it's still very calorically dense because it's probably made out of oil, which is the most calorically dense food on the planet. So it really is about just identifying what those items are that throw a seemingly healthy meal over the edge, and then saying, all right, how can we flip this? So instead of cheese being kind of the main ingredient, let's bump up the veggies and then treat the cheese more like a condiment. So you're just sprinkling it on versus layering it on. That makes sense.
No, that makes perfect sense. And that really addresses my concern in there is that, again, learning and kind of the path we were talking about is your body learning as well as you. I know when I tried to increase my plant-based diet about 6 months ago, during those first days, it wasn't all that comfortable. and so I wanted to liken it to, and I think you guys would agree, I liken it to the first time I got on my exercise bike when we got it. It was not comfortable right away. You know, you think you're going to be this great fit person and then you're limping around the next day. And in a way, your stomach and your digestive system is limping around learning something new. But it's going to work out over. But I think people really want, you know, to have it be not that, that they don't like the learning process, I guess, sometimes.
Yeah, well, and that's valid. Nobody likes being gassy or having pain. But that's where the why comes in, where you're focusing on that end goal. And if you can really just envision that and feel it, and then also just know, like, it is going to get better. Just like with every person who consistently goes to the gym, those first few days or weeks or months, they're painful. You are feeling the burn. And when you're eating a lot of veggies, I mean, it's the same thing as, going from being on the couch to immediately running a marathon. Your guts are going through a process. They're getting all these new bacteria that they've been missing for a long time, and they're letting you know. And when that happens, a lot of times I just tell my users, think of it as anything else in your body. When something is different, your body lets you know. So in some cases, pain is a bad thing. You know, if you eat something horrible for you and you get stomach pain, well, you might not want to eat it again. But just being aware, it's just the, having that information to know this is normal, this is okay. If I just stick with it for a few more days, it's going to get better. And that's kind of where the science comes in, because you get to explain what's happening in the digestive tract. And then that kind of helps people just feel more at peace with what is happening and hold out.
That's a great point, Colleen. And I think as we're talking today, one of the things, and I think both of you have alluded to this, that any transition process that you make in terms of building new habits and incorporating new things into your diet, that there are going to be some bumps in the road, right? You know, meal that doesn't work out, or, you know, feeling uncomfortable one day. Patty, can you talk about kind of as you transitioned in this process, what are some of the bumps in the road that you experienced, and what did you find that was most helpful getting to the other side?
I think when I started, I believe I personally tried to make it too complicated. And I started saying, well, I've got to have this. And I started buying way too many groceries and just overcompensating. And then I was like, there's a vegan meat, there's a vegan cheese. And I know Colleen was saying that I had to learn and step back. It's not that complicated. And the cleaner I ate, the easier it was for me. Because at first people think when you tell them that, like, you are taking something away. But when you say it's so easy, you add in whatever you want. If it fits whole food, if it's a whole food, you can have the quantity you want, and it fits into that. And it's very easy. And when I gave myself permission to be like, okay, it doesn't have to be this. Even though presentation wise, I love presenting to family, the big meals and everything, but day to day, people don't have time. So you don't be intimidated. Grab a banana, grab some, oatmeal, cook it the night before, just easy. Give yourself a break to make it easy for you. And what is easy for some people, it's different for someone else. And you just look at what works for me, and don't be don't be beating yourself up if you're not preparing all these great meals and that you've prepped everything. Ask for help. You can prep together with friends. You can get things ready for your week. If you're a working mom or woman, then get together and try to get ideas going with friends of yours, how to make it easier, or have somebody else pick up at the market stand for you some fresh fruits and vegetables that's in your community. So just reaching out for help is a big thing. And I had to hurdle through that because I don't like asking for help, especially when it's something I'm trying to change, because I feel like, well, I have to know everything. And I think this part here, like Mark was saying, he's introducing himself. You don't have to know everything, because there is help out there, from the level of asking a friend to seeing all these wonderful doctors that are putting it out there for free. And you can transition into that. And I also, another benefit to me, I heard a Dr. Barnard, and he said, I was so afraid of this because I don't know why we're afraid of eating whole food plant-based. But I remembered when he said, don't be afraid. It's not all or nothing, because everybody has to come into this and know, if you want to eat your grandmother's German chocolate cake on your birthday, then you eat your grandmother's recipe for German chocolate cake on your birthday. You have that. And that, I know that sounds funny, but it really helped me, because that is exactly, it was my mother's recipe for German chocolate cake. And that's what she made us for our birthday, was our favorite cake. And I was like, well, I will never have that again. And so you don't have to say never, because it's your choice. And that took away a fear out of me that I thought, okay, I get it. I'm adding when I can, but I do have the luxury of choice. If I want to have something that I count on for memories, whatever it is, I don't have to overthink it. I can just have it and be happy about it and take the joy in that.
You know, that is what you're talking about is something that I've learned in doing that. And that, you know, you can have a day that you just want to eat something and you add back in something. It is funny, though, as I've been on this journey, it's about now been actually about 9 months of transitioning a little bit. So what's happened, though, besides losing weight and feeling better, is that I can't eat some of the things I thought I'd want to eat either. Remember that transition and that we were just talking about? You transition out and your gut has to get used to the new plant-based. Once it sort of gets used to that healthier style, it doesn't like a whole lot of oils and fats. And it you actually, they look great, taste great, and all of a sudden you go, ugh, I don't feel well again. So it's, I think that's a good thing to remind people that you're in these transitions, but once you make it to a certain side of that, it's easier to maintain, because your body now, it's going to help you out. It's not just your friends, but your body helps you.
Yeah.
I want everybody to remember that the Da Vinci Pursuit brings together artists, scientists, and members of the community to engage in conversations that explore the interactions and intersections between art and science. And we encourage you to explore further in conversation with others and in your family any of the ideas that we're exploring in today's show. And we'll be right back.
This is Dave Baghdad, host of The Kitchen Party Kaylee. I hope you'll join me every Sunday at 10 p.m. for the best music from Ireland, Scotland, Canada, and the U.S. The Kitchen Party Kaylee, Celtic music from across the globe and across town.
Welcome back. We're having a conversation about how the addition of plant-based foods can lead to improved health and well-being. Removing the idea of dieting and sharing some plant-based recipes. And so before we went to break, I know both Colleen and Patty have chatted with us about some of their favorite strategies that they've used to incorporate plants, both thinking not only, I think, about the sort of healthful nature of these plant-based foods, but also thinking about, again, the beauty. One of the things that we love talking about on this show is just thinking about your relationship between what you see and how you feel and how it connects to the sort of the emotion and the logic. So Colleen, maybe we'll start with you. Do you have kind of some go-to recipes or other strategies that you encourage folks to think about when they are thinking about first incorporating plant-based foods more regularly into their diet?
Absolutely. We were chatting on break a little bit about tacos. Who doesn't love a good taco? So that's probably one I would start with. And that's so easy to do. So thinking about what you normally throw in a taco, so maybe starting with beef, you can easily substitute that with some type of bean. So let's say chickpea, a can of chickpeas. And I personally love dumping the chickpeas into the pan and then using about half of the liquid, which is called aquafaba. And then you just kind of mush that up a little bit with a fork and add your taco seasoning to it. And that can just be something out of a package or taco seasoning you make yourself, doesn't matter. And then just really you're heating it through because they're already cooked. So it's kind of crumbly, but it has that good taco texture. And then, well, if we're considering the rainbow, so what would be red? That could be chopped tomatoes. Or, pico de gallo, which has a little green in it too. Or just pre-made salsa. That's also super easy and generally easy to find a healthy version of that. Orange could be, like I love using different sauces. And I know some might say, this isn't a food, but hot sauce. Still, there's tons of spices in hot sauce and spices are amazing. Very, very good for your health. So we're going to count that. yellow could be your corn tortilla. Corn is a grain. So great. so red, orange, yellow, green. So again, that could be, that's whatever grain you want to throw into it. Be cilantro. You could even do a little bit of spinach or something, lettuce, green, and then blue. That one's a little hard to do in a taco. So I don't usually try to go for that. But so in cases like that, I get a lot of my blue foods in the morning in a smoothie. So I'm not aiming for perfection with blue in every meal. So I'll just use like a blue plate. So that kind of helps your brain see that entire rainbow. That's a good little hack. And then purple might be something like pickled purple onion. And by the way, the onions are purple. They are not red. I always drive me nuts. So yeah, just pretty normal standard taco recipe. Just swap out the meat with beans.
One of the things I like about what you're suggesting there as well is that, and this was something Patty talked about earlier, is that you're not suggesting that we go out and buy a ton of really hard to find, really specialized ingredients, but instead just really looking for what you might already have in your pantry or what's already on your shopping list and just sort of augmenting that in maybe a new and different way, which I think for a lot of folks, it adds to, again, when I think about cooking something, for me, one of the things that's satisfying about cooking a good meal for myself or the people that I care about is the idea that, that it wasn't incredibly laborious, right? Or take kind of too much brain power. All of us are busy, and so thinking about how do we balance wanting to eat in this new and more healthful way with, we do have limited time, we have limited resources, and, really making use and efficient use, like with your chickpeas and, that kind of the water in the chickpea can, right? That those are easy things to do that can help you make this approach a reality. So thank you for sharing that. Patty, do you have a go-to recipe that you really like or a strategy that you've employed that's worth sharing with our listeners?
Yes. I felt like evenings, it was hard for me to get in a salad and I knew I wanted to add more greens, and smoothies are great, but I knew I wanted to start getting used to eating more food. So I developed a breakfast salad.
And Patty, you were talking about developing a breakfast salad?
It's so easy and so convenient. And it's a breakfast salad.
Sorry, I think we're still lose Patty a
little. I'm back.
Go ahead. Let's try it again.
Yeah, with the breakfast salad, it's so amazing, so easy.
Colleen, can I have you jump in there while we try to get Patty back with us? The wonders, you know, of Zoom over.
Yeah, sorry about that.
She's talking about a breakfast
more
salad.
Volume. I take the already lines, it's already in the bag.
Go ahead, Colleen.
Okay, sorry, what were you saying? I couldn't hear you very well.
She was talking about a breakfast salad, which I think is really interesting. She was shifting the idea from being in the evening because she was finding it hard to get that in and shifted it to being in the morning. Now, that's a really something I would never think about is shifting when we eat something.
Yeah. And that's something I actually struggle with. I can't wait. I hope Patty's able to chime in again at some point to talk about the breakfast salad, because that is something that if someone told me that I could do that, I would be like, you're psychotic. There's no way that I can eat a salad in the morning. But then, you know, like my partner, one of his favorite things to eat for breakfast is just kale, like roasted kale. Crazy. But yeah, a lot of times if we just switch, you know, it's so funny because in America, we're so used to like really sweet breakfasts. And but in other countries, it's totally normal to have a very savory, even like a really dense meal for breakfast. But yeah, I think Patty's back now. If you want to talk about that breakfast salad, we're curious.
Yeah, I'm so sorry for the internet connection. I just love, my favorite thing is the greens, the garbanzo beans, and then I put mango and berry, and then I have discovered flavored vinegars, and I put on a fig vinegar, drizzle it over it, and it is the most amazing salad. And vinegars are my go-to now because I don't have to worry about dressings and all the fat in dressings. And there's so many flavors of vinegars out there that make eating greens, anything you throw in a bowl and you drizzle the vinegar over it is amazing. So that's my breakfast salad. And sometimes I'll do like a bowl of oatmeal also. So
one of the things I like about what you're attending to there as well, Patty, and I think Colleen, that's some of the things that you're talking about as well, is the idea that we do sort of have these subconscious expectations for what, you know, kind of seasons of food or times of the day of food, or even just flavor palettes, right? So Patty said, I think, and Colleen, you may have alluded this to as well, that, you know, that sometimes folks crave sweet in the morning, you know, and so doing something, Patty, I love the idea of a kind of a fruit-based vinegar as a strategy for encouraging folks to say like, yeah, if you still want that sweetness in the morning, there are ways to do that that is kind of more plant-based than maybe what you're thinking. One of the things for me that I will share that I struggle with as I incorporate more plants into my diet is that I tend to eat a lot for texture, right? So Colleen, you said a smoothie. Smoothies are like my least favorite food. I just don't like the texture of them at all. And so how do you kind of, you know, talk with folks and work? So, you know, as you're thinking about kind of what folks' preferences are, I love sort of the crunchy, you know, like that crunchy feeling. And so thinking about like, you know, my go-to in the morning is something like granola, which again is really calorically dense. How do you kind of get a little bit of that while still sort of incorporating more plants? So how do you work with folks who have, again, I know it's a weird eating preference, but I'm really big on the texture thing. So yeah, talk about that a bit.
Yeah, that's not weird at all. That's super common. So like you said, just how do I get that little bit of crunch at least? And also just high fives to you for being open to that, because sometimes people are like, I can't have anything mushy at all. But if you can even meet yourself halfway and say, no, all right, I think I'm going to go for some oatmeal. And you might make that oatmeal with a little bit less water than is recommended, so it's less mushy. But then go ahead and put your granola on it, at least to get started. And so it's going to still have that crunch. You know, every little bit that you can do is helpful. But in having that oatmeal there as the base really kind of helps reduce the calories.
You know, one of the things that's helped me along there, and that this is what both of you alluded to, is also there is something to be said for eating what's in season on fruits and vegetables. Because when you get them at the peak of their season and they're not transported, you know, halfway across the world to get to us, when they're ripened locally, or if people can do that, and many of our groceries, and they're not high-end groceries, Kroger, others, they carry local produce or even produce that's in season, and knowing what's in season. And I find the fruit tastes so much better. It's got so much more sugar in a certain really good way. And then if I shift the fruit to the season, I find myself eating something that's much more delicious and not so bland. So I do think both of you've got that. Patty, I know that you've had it's made some real differences in your own life in terms of your health. Can you describe a little bit of what's changed for you?
Yes, the dreaded metabolic syndrome. I was the poster child for it. And I had high blood pressure, high cholesterol, high sugar. I was on a blood thinner. And I kept seeing stories about people eating whole food, plant-based, and the changes they were making. And I honestly was hopeful, but never dreamed. And nor did my doctor realize how quickly that would happen. And I ended up within weeks going off of blood pressure medication, within months going off of my blood sugar medication, and then my cholesterol. And then as of January of this past year, they took me off of the blood thinner. And my cardiologist apologized to me and said, "You asked me when I put you on this 4 years ago, would you ever come off?" And I said, "I know I did." And he said, "Well, I lied, because I can't believe it myself. I'm taking you off of it." And that was such joy to me, because my mother at my age was on 27 medications, and I am on zero medications right now. And they did ask me to take a baby aspirin a day right now, but they're debating that. And that brought such joy to me. And I feel so very proud of that, because I want to tell everybody, it's very easy. Don't make it hard. Do yourself a favor. Just start with beans and greens. Just start changing your life and enjoying all this beautiful food that we have to offer us. It's an incredible feeling. It really is.
The other thing that's powerful for me, Patty, as I hear you talk, is just about the idea of having some agency back, right? That you feel like you kind of get an opportunity to be like, you know, it's not these things that are happening to me, but instead that you have sort of the power to control these things. I think it sounds like it really was a joyful experience for you. So I'm really happy to hear your story.
Thank you. Thank you.
We want to thank both our guests, Colleen Rocap and Patricia Peak, both of you, for helping us really explore what it means to try to have a healthier diet and without dieting, and trying to see, you know, results are always different for everybody, but yet see the powerful ways in which it makes us healthier when we eat healthier, and it still can taste good and look beautiful.
You will find some links on our website to some of the great ideas and suggestions that both Colleen and Patty have shared with us today, as well as the other guests for this show, on the Da Vinci Pursuit website at thedavincipursuit.com, where we create museums without walls so artists, scientists, and the community can come together to enjoy unique activities and conversations.
And until then, I'm Mark Kiesling, reminding you to tune in again next week when we explore our more curiosities from the intersections between art and science.
You've been listening to Intersections, where art and science meet, with your host, Mark Kiesling, the founder of the Da Vinci Pursuit, and Krista Hoffman Longton, Assistant Dean for Faculty Affairs and Professional Development at the Indiana University School of Medicine. Just a reminder, the Da Vinci Pursuit brings together artists, scientists, and members of the community to engage in conversation that explore the intersections between art and science. We encourage you to explore further in conversation with others. Any of the ideas explored in today's show at www.thedaVinciPursuit.com.